Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. You found it. I sure am glad you did. I'm very excited today. It's midweek here. The second week in January, the new year, 2020. It still blows my mind that that we find ourselves here in 2020. Wow, at least I find myself here, I should say. I'm very excited about the show today. We've got a fantastic guest from a fantastic rock band. I really, really dig this band a lot, and I would like to welcome Tim of the band Sonic Octane. Tim, how are you?
Hey guys, I'm doing fantastic.
Wow, awesome,
things are good.
Awesome. We were talking a little bit before we came on mic. Tim, I have been there, man. Tim was having his lunch, finishing it up. Got to grab it while you can, man. Now that happens to me daily. Usually it's with the show will start and I'll have a big gulp of coffee or something in my mouth. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I'm like, But just part of it. Part of it.
Yeah.
So, Tim, I wanted to ask you. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I just was going to say I'm rarely perfectly punctual. I mean, I attempt to be, and then it said, hey, you're going to be on in 1 minute, and then I took a bite of course, something with peanut butter on it, and then I'm like, where's my drink? And I couldn't find my Mountain Dew, and, I finally found that and tried to swallow it and ended up spitting it into the sink just so I'd be available.
Oh, man. Well, I appreciate it. I appreciate it.
Sure.
Tim, I'm probably going to mess up your last name, but I'm going to try Dahlin, is it? Dahlin?
It is Dahlin, yes. Most people
Dahlin,
mess
okay.
that one up, and it's kind of a rare name. I believe it's I don't know if I can say if it's a mix between Norwegian and German, but it's one of those two. I believe it's German, but somebody will end up telling me later, duh, you know, Neil, why don't you go on that 23andMe thing or something and figure it out.
Right.
I just don't know. I know I'm German and I know I'm Irish and I know I'm Norwegian. That's about it.
You.
That's where my people come from.
I hear you. You know, last year, well, actually, not this past Christmas, but the Christmas before, my fiance, Danny, her father, my future father-in-law, man, he's German and Irish and big time, talks about his Irish background all the time, you know, just very into it. And nothing wrong with that,
sure.
Of course.
No.
But he's at a point in life where, you know, he can buy whatever he wants, you know. So he's real hard to shop for Christmas presents. So my gal, she's like, why don't we get him one of those genealogy, like you were saying, I said, I am not going to be the future son-in-law that ushers in that he's really French or something and not Irish at all. That is not going to happen.
That can be
nix that real quick.
Good call. That was a good call. Never challenge the father-in-law.
No.
Nope. It's
like those nature shows with the gorilla on the hill.
No, don't just let him go there.
He's fine. Well, this is really cool. Well, Tim, I wanted to ask you, Sonic Octane, this is a kick-ass band. Excuse my language, but it just is. You know, there's no other way to put it. You guys just rock. Yeah, how did Sonic Octane coalesce? How did this all come together?
Well, my story, you know, I believe Sonic Octane is something that was going to happen no matter what. I believe it was going to happen when the right people ended up, all arriving and deciding that they were gonna take this on. For me, I was in a kind of a cover themed cover band, and I had been in cover bands for years. And yeah, years in Denver, and since I had moved to Denver, Colorado in the 90s or whatever. And then, so I was in this one called Geek Strong, and we were kind of mix 80s and some of the 90s stuff. And we would even do like Backstreet Boys and stuff like that. And we'd kind of rock them up and make them fun. Interestingly enough, we almost called the band Pop Rocks. So there you go.
No?
There's our kind of segue into your show. But and then we were playing a show, and my drummer is his name's Gunner, and he's kind of a jack of all trades. He's always getting himself into projects and side projects and experimental drum things and stuff, you know. So he's really passionate about the instrument. And side note, I can just tell you, him and I and actually my whole band still in mourning over the Neil Peart news, because we're just gigantic Rush fans, and that's kind of why I met my drummer. The 20 years ago, that's why I met him. I saw an ad about him, and it said Rush, Alice in Chains, blah blah, and I was like, okay, those are my favorite bands. So let me let me meet this guy. And we became really close, you know. And I said, strangely enough, Rush is an interesting band, because the people that don't love Rush and the people that don't love Getty's voice, and I understand that, you know, there are a couple bands that I'm like, oh, how can you even handle this guy's voice? But Rush, I started listening to, literally, I'm not going to date myself right now and give away my age, really, but you know, early on right. When I first heard their biggest album, I had heard an album before that, but then their biggest album came out, and I was like, oh, whoa, right. This is great. And I've been a fan for literally that long, literally close to 4 decades, I would say. They've been my favorite band, and the people, I have a few close friends that I've been friends with for decades that I literally met because somebody said, oh yeah, he likes Rush too. And then you start talking to the guy, or you meet with the guy somehow, and it's your immediate friends, because you get it. And again, I have musician friends too that are just like, yeah, I never understood it. But then they're like, but Tool's the greatest band ever. And I'm like, oh my God, let me just teach you some things. Not taking anything away from Tool. They're dominating the planet.
Right.
But I remember one night I went and saw Tool one night at Red Rocks in Denver. And then the very next night I drove all the way to Albuquerque to see Rush. And I just want to tell you that I would have loved it if all the guys in Tool would go see a couple Rush shows. And no offense, I'm going to get destroyed for this, but go and learn how to put on a show, guys. Don't do 11
right.
songs. Do 30 songs like Rush still did into their 60s kind of a thing. And that meant a lot to me.
Absolutely.
But I guess my point is, my drummer actually was with me on that one too. So we've gone to a lot of – we've traveled to Rush shows before we were ever in Sonic Octane. Anyway, I'll just kind of go quicker with the Sonic Octane.
All the time in the world. Take your time.
Yeah, great. No, well, I had played in a couple tribute bands and cover bands, or just let's say cover bands, with him throughout the years. It's interesting because we never got into a band early on when I first met him in Denver. I came to Denver, and just kind of a weird side note about me that people find interesting. I worked for the San Francisco 49ers for like 17 years as a ball boy, and I moved up that ladder because my dad was a scout, and then he was a coach, and then he was the assistant head coach, and then he had a lot of different jobs there. And then after 17 years and 5 wonderful Super Bowl championships, he went over to the Denver Broncos and became the general manager there and won 2 more.
Oh, wow.
So we were very fortunate with, you know, he ended up being the guy with the most rings in the world in history. And he had that distinction for 18 years until, of course, the Patriots kept winning. And then just the last Super Bowl, Bill Belichick kind of passed my dad up, but my dad had the record for you know, years, and he's 7-0 in Super Bowls. So it was a big deal. Sports was my life growing up, obviously being involved with it. And then when he came to Denver, he asked, I was in Medford, Oregon. You know, I was going to college for a while, and then I was playing in bands, just playing in bands in Medford with a lot of great musicians and a lot of great people out there. There was this cover band that I would go see that I was just like, I cannot believe that these guys are a cover band. They're like, they were so good and inspired me so much that later when I moved to Denver, I was like, there was this guy named Mike that was just the main guy in the band, kind of setting everything up for him. And then he sang some of the stuff, played bass. And I was like, I want to do that. I want to play bass so I don't have to stress too much. I was a guitar player at the time, but I was like, I want to pull back and play bass so I can sing more and do things like that. So when I moved to Colorado, I met Gunner, the drummer, and I got in a different band right away because these guys came to me and said, hey, you want to try this? And so I did. And anyway, long story short, later, a couple of years later, Gunner, I asked if he wanted to come into one of my other projects, and we were doing heavier stuff, you know, Godsmack, Disturbed, and all you know, more of the heavy stuff, and still kind of did some of the 80s stuff, but we kind of rocked everything up and did them our own way. But he was in and out and in and out, you know, he wasn't sure what he really wanted to be doing, and we, you know, we let him go at one point, and then we brought him back, and then things didn't work out, let him go. But he was always there. We still invited him everywhere. There was never any hard feelings because we loved the guy. We just needed to be a certain way at a certain time. But anyway, so later I'm in a band with this guy, and we are in this band called Geek Strong, and we're just all about, you know, having fun and adding synth and techno to songs that you wouldn't think would have synth and techno in them from the past, just to make them more exciting. And, you know, some of those typical cover band songs, Man in the Box again, yay, go do Man in the Box. And I love Alice in Chains, but so I just decided, let's put some techno to it. Let's refresh this after all of these years. And he was great, and he was doing great in it. He could play with a click track. He could do all the stuff. So it was great. And so one day we were playing with the band Lit, if you remember the band Lit. I'm sure you do.
Oh, yeah.
The band, we were opening for the band Lit and I think the band Tantric, if you know them too. They used to be Days of the New, I guess. That was the main guy's stuff. And then they started Tantric for a while. And then, so we're playing with them, and then I meet this gentleman from a radio station thing. I didn't even know what it was, to be honest with you. He was somehow associated with a radio station that our drummer was a part of. Our drummer had a show, and his name was actually Cygnus was his uh-huh. you know, on air name, and he played a lot of just really cool stuff, and a lot of Rush, and a lot of intricate stuff, and a lot of B-sides and stuff. So he had that, and some people came out from the radio station, and I guess after the show, I must have walked not into the crowd, but I walked around, and I thanked people for staying, and I kind of have a little thing I always say. I'm like, hey, thanks for not throwing anything at us. I appreciate it. Thanks for sticking around for us. Obviously, they're going to stick around for us since we're, like, opening the show, and we're not the headliner. So it's like, thanks for not leaving for the headliner, because we were so awesome.
Right.
But it was just, I just thank people. I just thank people. I always did that. I always go shake hands, you know, and I used
absolutely.
To, in the cover band thing, I used to buy the first couple tables that I saw in the first set that stuck around. I would go down and buy them all a shot or something, or, you know, whatever they wanted.
Right.
But usually I was like, you guys want to do a shot? I want to thank you for sticking around and being here early. And, you know, you could be anywhere else, but you're here. And, you know, I feel the need to do that because I learned something a long time ago. By no means is everyone a rock star or anybody going to be famous or whatever, but to the people that don't go see bands very often and sometimes just show up at a club and they see a band, and if the band is decent, then that can impress the people. And if you talk to them, I mean, so many times, oh, can you sign this before you guys get famous and stuff? And I'm just like, sure,
right.
I will. Thinking we're not really doing that, nothing spectacular. But people think that we're a bigger deal because they just don't, they're not friends with anybody in bands, and they just don't see many bands. So they give you a little more props than
you deserve.
But, you know,
they get to talk to you, you know, you're out there doing it. And they're, I'll tell you, here's the thing about rock bands too. Everybody that goes to see a rock, I wouldn't say everybody, I'd say 99.5% of all the guys that go see a rock band.
Yeah.
You are doing what they fantasized about doing their entire, you know, adolescence. That's what the plan was, man. I'm going to do a rock band, and I'm going to ride around in the Sally bus and date models, and it's going to be great. Just don't worry about it, you know?
Hey.
And here you are doing it. So it's a thrill. And all the gals there, I mean, hell, you're in a rock band, you know? That's cool, turned up to 10, you know?
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Metal Babe Mayhem is super excited about their newest venture with MBM Music LLC. With MBM Music, we'll provide artists with a full-service platform to be seen and heard by assisting with necessary products, services, and fashion, all in an effort to increase exposure, fan base, and income. For more information, visit us at MBMMusicLLC.com. That's MBMMusicLLC.com. You create, we promote, plug in to the network.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's R-O-X-X, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com. Earth's treasures brought to light.
Hi, folks. Jamie Rocks here. Hey, if you're a big fan of cool historical books like me, then you're going to want to check out our newest show sponsor, Michelle Albion. Fantastic author. She's got some really interesting, cool books out that you're going to want to check out. I'm a big fan of all of these. The Florida Life of Thomas Edison, The Quotable Edison, Quotable Henry Ford, Quotable Eleanor Roosevelt, and, of course, The Quotable Amelia Earhart. Michelle's just very keen and very, very cool, and these are just very cool books. So check out her website. There's links to where you can pick these up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble all over the place. MichelleAlbion.com, MichelleAlbion.com, MichelleAlbion.com. Very, very cool stuff. Check it out, folks.
Sure. All those beautiful cliches are neat, and they're true to an extent, you know, in the 90s. And, you get attention,
right.
and you get, you know, and a girl can think whatever, that they're going to get something out of it, or they're going to be cool because they're associated with it, or that I'm a bigger deal than I was.
Right.
Everybody deals with that to a degree. And it's, I've been married for just about 20 years now, so that's not something that I really deal with. But I certainly welcome, you know, somebody to make me feel good about myself and say something nice to me. But
and not throw something restable.
It's all part of it. Original, ask people, why'd you get into this business? Why'd you get into rock and roll or whatever? And people say the cliches of blah, 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 money and chicks and stuff. And would I ever say that? Of course I would say that. In a second. Of course I dreamt of all that stuff. Of course every band had dreamt of the Motley Crue scenario and the things that you think are happening backstage. It's funny, later in my in my career,
when
I was working
tired.
For big bands. And, no, I do. It's so funny because I went on the road with Metallica. I was very lucky to go on the road on the Black Album tour when they hit it the biggest, and I did some tour dates with them and been backstage with so many bands. And it's like, unless it's a special event, there's really no partying going on backstage. I've even been backstage for Rush. A bunch of Rush shows, and they're just like, Neil just locked behind a door, and the other guys are just kind of like, yeah, unless there's a meet and greet, they're just like, okay, I'm tired. I'm going to go take the car to the hotel and then fly out to the next show. And they don't even ride the bus anymore. Bands like Rush and stuff, they don't do that. But then you got bands like Poison who have four different tour buses for each guy because they can't get along to save their lives, but they understand that this is how they're going to make their money and the whole nostalgia circuit. People can talk all they want about how great Motley Crue is and stuff, and I'm not bashing anybody, but I love Rush, and I love the way they went out. They could still pull it off. That last tour, Neil was playing some of the hardest stuff I've ever seen him play in that last tour, and I'm like, man. And then they waved to the crowd at the last show. Neil came from behind his drums for the first time ever, came out to the front of the stage, not even in the front, just partially to the front, and waved. And every Rush fan that is a real Rush fan knew right then, that's the last time we're ever going to see them. And just because Neil doesn't do that, and everybody knew he came out to the front for a reason at that Forum show. And those 16,000-17,000 people that were lucky enough to be at that show, they'll our drummer was there. Our drummer went to LA for that show, thinking it was the last show. And there are some bands that do it right, and there are some bands that kind of stay at the party too long. But people argue it with me sometimes, and I'm like, no, I want the quality. I need the quality of, I need the quality of, the band giving me, I understand they could just go stand there, and there are people that are going to pay the money to go see them because of nostalgia.
Right.
Kiss. I mean, Kiss's farewell tour this time is like a 6-year tour, and they do stops like 5 times. It's like, oh, they're back in LA on the same tour and stuff. Don't get me wrong, I'm a huge dude. I have a Kiss tattoo, so that was the band before Rush that I was like, oh my god, that's what I'm gonna do with my life. But anyway, I guess
expecting quality, from sure. people that you look up to and that you know, not even look up to, that you know can give that quality. Laziness bores me. I see a band that's just phoning it in, kind of. It's like, come on, guys. I know you can do. I've seen you do better, And
That's it.
You bring it, so you expect other people to bring it as well. I get it.
It's,
and I agree
it's
with
it. It's so my release. And that's a cliche, whatever. But when I get on stage, I get emotional. Music's very emotional to me. I'm a guy that never felt that comedy belongs anywhere near music. And again, I understand when something's my opinion and I don't understand something, just like some of the stuff with David Lee Roth being out there. I personally couldn't stand there and enjoy hearing him the way he sounds right now and leave saying, wow, that was some quality stuff. Instead, I'm going to be saying, God, I'm so much better than you. I am such a better singer than you. How unfair is life?
Right.
Blah, blah. I could do that too, but I'm not going to
do that. He's your new neighbor now, isn't he? I mean, I was thinking you were in Vegas. No, you're in Denver.
We're not
area.
In Vegas,
no,
but he's in Vegas,
yeah,
and he's still doing the thing.
There.
No, man,
I'm
he just
amazed
you know,
at. I don't even know how that happened, but more power to him.
No, you know,
no.
I guess, and then I'll pull back and I'll say this. I guess I'm wrong, not wrong in a sense. I guess it's everybody's personal. Some people like a good movie, not a good movie. Some people like a certain movie, and then some people don't like a certain movie, and I understand that.
Right.
And stuff. So I guess it's not for me to say. I guess I should just say these things are my opinion. But I would I left last time I saw Motley Crue. I left saddened that people are still giving them millions bags of money to do something that just doesn't orally sound good to me. And if it gave somebody sitting next to me an experience of this is my favorite band and I never want them to go away, then who am I to say anything? I mean, it's almost like politics. It's like anything. These are my opinions, and I'm happy to share that these are my opinions. But I guess being a singer and being a guitar player and learning my instruments over time and trying to get good enough to where I don't feel like I'm being judged or I'm not good enough. I guess you want the people that paved that way for all of us to kind of stand up and say quality matters to me. And again, I understand Crue doing what they did, I guess, but I think it's really weak that they played the contract game and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, come on, man, show respect to the fans that flew around the country and saw, dropped their 401k on seeing Motley Crue 6 times on their farewell tour because they knew they'd never see you again. And now people are buying tickets for $17 and sitting in the third row. And they're like, But okay, I'm going to pull back from that, and I'm going to go back because I'm so ADD, and I'm going to answer the question because really the question was about Sonic Octane. And I'll tell you, and I got on off a rush tant because I'm kind of, tangent there. But I'm playing a show.
Yeah.
I know. I mean, I kind of start to go crazy here, and then I have to write notes, or my wife has to hand me a note. You're not talking about that. Oh, sorry, my bad. I will just say real quick, Gunner. Gunner and I were in that tribute band. We played a few shows, and then I met a gentleman that our drummer had already been talking to about this commercial original project. And then he saw me that night because he came out to see his drummer, who was in my band, and he met me, and he asked my drummer about me. And then I said, sure, I'd love to come have a meeting. And then I went and had a meeting, and the outline looked great. I was excited to meet somebody that really wanted to put a lot of work into it, because music's different these days. It's maybe one in a million is going to happen, but you could have the greatest band down the street tonight playing your local pub. They could literally be young guys that could possibly take over the world, but they're not going to, because no A&R guy is going to go in there. No word of mouth. Nobody's
right.
going to tell somebody to tell somebody to tell somebody. And some guy's going to walk in and be like, yeah, these guys are great. It's a different world, and there's so much out there. And I've been in entertainment with pro sports and stuff, and knowing that, you know, it's who you know. I mean, a lot of it is who. Of course, you have to be good, and if you get the right people in there helping you out, of course, quality has to be there. It can't not be there. I'm sure there are a few bands in the past that I've thought, huh, there are some, you know, just like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame right now. Who got in? What, Notorious B.I.G. and Whitney Houston or something over Judas Priest? And I'm just like, right there should let everybody know, I'm never going to trust that again. It's like the Billboard charts.
Right.
The Billboard charts. You know, when Bon Jovi's on the Billboard charts, it's because they gave away a free album with every concert ticket. It's not because people are rushing out to get their new album, and I'm not putting them down. I'm just saying it is a business, and everybody knows that it's a business, and everybody understands that not everybody, I'm sorry, everybody within it understands that it's so a lot of hard work, but it really helps if once you get in there, you just do not stop, you know, knocking on doors. We were given some great advice by this lady. She's like my idol right now because of how strong she is and what she's done with her life. But she has a TV show, and it's based out of New York right now. Her name's Donna Drake, and
the Live It Up show.
The Live It Up show. Yeah, we were on her show, and it was wonderful. And we are close to her, and she works with the band just kind of as an advocate, and she'll make connections for us and all these wonderful things. And we asked her straight out, Robert asked her, when do we stop knocking on a door that isn't being, you know, opened or answered? When do we stop kind of bothering people? And she said, you don't, until they look you in the face and say, please never talk to me again. I want nothing to do with you. But if they keep putting you off, or they keep doing it. And the beautiful thing about Robert is he's tenacious with that. I'm a little shyer. I'm a guy that I struggle with that because I've always struggled with the answer no. And boy, you wouldn't think I would be, because I just heard it so often in my life. But I've always been a guy that if you don't try, you'll never know. Well, sometimes I just wouldn't even try because I kind of didn't want to know if the answer wasn't what I wanted to hear. But he will knock down, you know, he'll keep knocking. Robert will keep, you know, I give him that, man. And I think together, him and I, we're kind of a yin and yang kind of thing where, you know, I may be stronger in this area over here to the left, and he's way stronger over here on the right. And together, I think we make sense to people. And so after that initial meeting with Robert, we talked, and then I got to meet some other people. And, you know, the beautiful thing and the frustrating thing at the same time was took a couple bass players. There was a guitar player in and out, drummer thoughts about some changing here and there. And then, but it's really not because, you know, some people would say, look at that band. They can't keep a bass player. They can't blah, blah, blah. That's not the way I see it. The way I see it is we needed the right guys. I mean, there are some bands like that, of course, because they can't get along with the prima donna singer or whatever it might be. You know, that's fine if people want to think that about me. I don't think that's the case at all. But I will say that, you know, we needed the right guys, and until we had the right guys,
and at the right time.
Exactly. I mean, if it doesn't fit, it doesn't fit. And we had this one guy, and I went to Robert, and I was like, I don't feel it. I don't see me on stage with the guy. if you'd rather have him over me, that's 100% acceptable. But I don't see him in the future because I don't think he respects the process, and he doesn't respect the,
super important.
We all have to be on the same page.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Old moon, yeah. That's Hugo, tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-oh! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Support for this podcast comes from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, ranked one of the top cancer centers in the nation for the last 27 years. The doctors at MD Anderson treat more rare cancers in a single day than many physicians see in a lifetime, and treatment plans are tailored to an individual patient's needs, allowing more comprehensive and thorough care. To become a patient, please visit makingcancerhistory.com.
Bros before anything, before you guys, I mean, again, I don't want to, I mean, I'd love to be a poison and go out and make that money, but I don't want to be to where I can't be around the guys until we have to get on stage. And that kind of stuff, you know, people wonder, how could that be, like, how could Guns N' Roses not get back together? They're missing out on millions, but there's a reality when you get together with certain people, it's a friction that isn't even worth millions of dollars. It's really not. And that's probably why Axl and Slash kind of stayed away from each other for a while. They finally grew up enough and became mature. And I'm not saying they were immature, but you know what I mean? It took them a while.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, okay, let's do this, you know? And I'm learning that now when we're gaining a little bit of commercial success here and there and hitting these milestones that I've never hit in my life in a band. You know, I've been on the radio and I've done some neat things and opened for some neat bands, but you know, right now to be attached to an Amazon Prime TV show and be submitted for an Emmy Award and some thing, and you know, be on a tour bus, just to be able to be on a tour bus is the experience within the experience. You know, being in New York, driving a tour bus and pulling up to a club, you just feel like a badass when you get off that bus. You're just like, wow. And it gives you a little extra confidence it's true. And it gives you some confidence and makes you feel good. It also makes you feel like, damn, we're playing with some really good bands tonight. We better not suck because we're going to look ridiculous. They have a bus and they can't even play a G chord or whatever it is. I don't even know, but we had pulled up, you know, and it's funny cause we've played with some national acts. And we have the tour bus and the national acts don't. And it's like, dude, you were on MTV, man, a bunch. And now you're driving a van. And that's just because we got very lucky and Robert made sure that he was going to make sure that we are professional. We look professional and we the bus is also it's a wonderful business opportunity in itself. And it's attractive to some other bands who might want to go tour with us and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a huge piece of the band and it's part of our culture and it's
part of our
you know, kind of like the, it is part of the band and it's Sally is her name and that came from the song Salvation. We didn't just throw out a weird girl name. There was actually some thought behind it. So it just happened to Sally made the song. But I don't know. This band, once you have the right guys, it's beautiful because, I was tasked with, you know, we were going through some bass player issues and we had some young guys and we were booked on that TV show, Live It Up with Donna Drake. We were booked there in December of, I think it's 2018, maybe 19, I don't even know. My brain is a little out of it. I think it's 2018. We were scheduled to be on that show and then to do some live radio appearances and acoustic stuff in New York. So we're about to go. And then, you know, now all of a sudden we had recently got back from Vegas doing our video for the song Reckoning and getting some other B-roll for some other video stuff and doing the Mandalay Bay thing. And it was just such an incredible experience and being treated so – I didn't even know how to take being treated so nicely and people bringing me things and all this stuff. And I'm like, oh, wow. And at first I think some of the people thought – oh, he's just one of those lead singers, but I was just quiet. I'm just kind of like Neil Peart. I'm just quiet, and I feel odd when people are nice to me. I just feel odd when people come up to me and give me any kind of good thoughts. So it's tough. But anyway, so we have the stuff scheduled, neat stuff, and then we needed a bass player. So I gave a phone call to a guy I played with when I was in Oregon in the early 90s, and I said, hey, you're the guy I want. I know you can learn the stuff. I know you can do it. Let's bring you out. If you'd like to come out, let's fly you out to New York, and then we're going to have you on the show. I'll give you the songs, learn the stuff, because I knew he could do it. I had been in a couple bands with this guy, and he's just a perfect perfect guy. He's just a perfect – and his stage presence is awesome, and he's so engaging. And if I can't get the crowd going, he'll get the crowd going, or Robert will get the crowd. It's a great dynamic with all of the, you know, the three core guys up front, and then of course Gunner holding everything down with his drumming. But so we brought my guy out, and then ended up going and doing the TV appearance and stuff. And you guys, anybody that wants to go to sonicoctane.com, I believe there's a link there that you can find the Donna Drake appearance, which is really cool. We did an interview too. Anyway, and that actually, they took that song, if I could digress for a second, they took that song and instead of a recorded version, they took that and kind of EQ'd it and stuff. And then that became the theme song for a TV show that is on Amazon Prime that was just released. It's called Little Cupid. And so right when the show started, it shocked me. I went to Amazon Prime and I clicked it and I'm like, there's my voice. This is so weird. This is so cool. And then at the end, it's so neat. At the end, the end credits are to the, I didn't even know this was going to happen until I finally watched the end credits. And it was, it's to our recorded version of that song. And the song's called Heaven Calling. And we have, you can find it on YouTube and stuff too. But anyway, so the Donna Drake thing was very important to me. I wanted that kind of a benchmark. I wanted to be on a TV show. I wanted to do that stuff. So Pete, bass player, came out. We went up there, and then Robert gets very attached to people right away that he likes, and that's a wonderful thing. It's like it's kind of like finding somebody they like, or finding something they like and holding on for dear life, because you just don't want to lose it. And he immediately was like, You're the guy. You want to, you know, if you want to be in the band. And logistically, of course, he's out of state. But originally, we had a guitar player living in L.A. And so he was flying out for rehearsals. And now we have a bass player that has to fly out for shows and rehearsals and stuff. And he's considering moving here, you know, over the next few months, seeing the progress of Sonic Octane. You know, he'll him and his wife are talking about, let's just get out here so we can just be just rehearsing nonstop and, you know, with computers and Skype and all that stuff, we can do it to a degree, but one day it would be nice to be all together. But anyway, so Pete joins the band and that's kind of history. That's the kind of solidified lineup of Sonic Octane. And so Pete still is in Oregon, but he'll come out and he'll come out a few days before a show, if we have a show locally, and we'll rehearse. And we played with a month and a half ago, I guess, we played with the band Royal Bliss, and they're ripping up the Billboard charts right now. They're doing pretty good with their song.
Oh yeah.
I think it's called Paranoid, but when such great guys. And that's another thing about Robert and Pete, both of them. Oh, and Gunner too. I guess they're all better than I am at, just the whole schmoozing afterwards, but they make sure to hang out with the band and get in good with people. And that's what you have to do these days. You have to get in with people. So many bands out there right now aren't even signed. We have a record deal. We're very lucky to have a record deal with Curtain Call Records, which they're associated with obviously Sony Orchard and some great stuff. And you know, OMG, they are the nicest people. They're the most accessible people. First thing, after we got a deal, next thing, you know, first thing, I'm being flown to Kentucky for the Louder Than Life. And then I opened my eyes and I'm backstage with, first guy I saw was Buzz from the Melvins. And I'm like, oh my God, you, dude. What a trip. And then there's Ice Cube passing me in a golf cart, and then Axel getting out of a helicopter right next to me after their intro music had been playing for 40 minutes with the lights on, and Axel wasn't even there. But all these just rock stars, you know, the Hailstorm and Godsmack and Disturbed and, you know, not Nine Inch Nails, I'm sorry, the other ones, Marilyn Manson and you know, Zombie and all that. Just such great people just walking around me, and I'm literally backstage doing these TV and radio spots. Hey, this is Tim from Sonic Octane. You're listening to blah, 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 DC's Best Rock, Chicago, you know, all this stuff. And I'm just like, this is the coolest thing in the world. This is absolutely my dream coming true. And I'm watching my dream come true. And, you know, you have to look at it in different – it's not the same as it was in the late 90s. It's not excess, and it's not just, you know, hey, go out and get me five chicks and bring them backstage and blah, blah, blah. It's not, it's just not that way. And the money's not like that anymore. I've seen bands that used to be, I don't want to name any, but I even know a guy that's in a band that was quite popular in the late 90s and the 2000s and had a few big, huge hit songs and stuff. And they're not making a lot of money at these shows. It's turning over to like merch although it is touring where you're going to make your money. If you're genuine, people are going to grab onto you and say, these guys work hard. These guys, their music speaks to me. We try and be positive in all our music. I'm not by any means a goody two shoes or anything, but I definitely, want to empower people. And I know people talk about songs being, oh, this guy, this singer was so deep and blah, blah, blah. And I'm not that at all. I'm not trying to be that, you know, people thinking John Lennon or Eddie Vedder or some of these guys are like these messiahs, and to them, maybe they are. And I'm not going to take that away, but I know a lot of, you know, it's a lot of, John Lennon once said, they're just a bunch of words that rhyme, but I'm glad they mean something to you. And he's, you know, because some guy called him a god. He's like, you're my messiah. What you sing about and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, I'm glad it does that for you. I'm glad I can afford this home because the music does mean stuff. I'm not saying it's not meaningful, but it's, you know, and like I was saying before, the comedy in music, there is a place for that. People love certain songs, and people, even with Rush, they had a song about going bald, and I was just like, if I listen to that, I disliked them a little bit, so I avoided that song every time it came on. But you know, just certain songs that are tongue-in-cheek, I used to love her, I had to kill her, things like that. And I'm not bagging on those bands, I'm saying for me personally, that stuff turns me off. And I understand Weird Al, I understand that stuff because that's full-on parody, but music meant so much to me as a kid. It just meant so much as a kid. And I feel music so incredibly deeply. I literally look like one of those Beatlemania girls at a Rush show. I try not to cry. You know, they'll play another song, and I'm just like, oh, my God. And I'm all misty, and I'm like, that's what music is to me. That's what it means to me, and that's why it's such a big deal to me. And I want everybody to feel what I felt when it comes to music. When it, you know, it blows my mind that not every human on Earth wants to be a rock star. I'm like, really?
Right.
You have
right.
to want
no,
to be a
no,
rock
I'm
star
hear you.
Because it's music, man.
I'm
and ooh, you know, because it's.
Well, one of,
I don't
I
know,
think music's
so
one of
fun.
Those things that you can. It's the it accesses this relatability. Like, there's so often I'll hear a song and I'm like, you know, I don't know the singer. I don't know his experience, his journey to even come up with that song, you know, or the band or whatever. But man, it's like they were right there when this and that was happening to me, and they were inspired
so
and wrote
much.
This. You know, it's you just relate to it so perfectly, and sometimes I don't even want to know the story because I'm like, oh no, I don't want to take away from my experience. But
I so agree, it's so important. It's just so important. There, you know, Stone Sour has a song called Through Glass, and. Mm-hmm. Some people are like, no, it's about being in prison. No, it's about being an alcoholic. And I love that. I love that. And I love that Corey Taylor won't say what it's necessarily about. Because
it could be both.
That's kind of how it's meant to be.
Whoever's listening to it.
Could,
yeah, absolutely.
Could be 100 different things. And however people can relate to it, it's just so it's such a beautiful thing. And I think, I mean, the feelings that music makes you cry when you're sad and you hear a sad song, and people purposely put sad songs on sometimes when they're sad to facilitate them maybe getting their feelings out. It's just, it's interesting how that works. And just, I think music more than anything, I understand smells and different scents do different things to you, but yes, I hear a song every once in a while and I'll be like, ugh, and I have to turn it off, not because it's a bad song, but because right. This was a bad time, or I exactly. think of this, or I think of that, and it's incredible how music can do that, and it's just, I don't know, it's like I'm going back to Rush and their whole 2112 album, that people like to think about music and the progression of what music can do for people. Go listen to the 2112 album, listen to all of Side One for sure, and then enjoy that story from the most basic premise of somebody finding a guitar after the end of the world
right.
has already happened, and the new population, and what's this thing, and people telling them throw the thing away, kind of a thing. And it's very poignant and such a
oh absolutely
such a big deal. But if I can get on stage,
speaking
and
incredible music though. I wanted to, we definitely have to talk about The Reckoning. We definitely
sure.
have to talk about this.
Oh, no.
Now, you guys filmed
some
cool stuff for this. Tell us all about that and the single.
Well, Reckoning, yeah, now I'll tell you, The Reckoning was it's interesting how it came about. You know, inspiration strikes in so many different ways. We were doing some recording on another song, and we hit the... I can't think of what it's called. Just when you loop something so it keeps playing the same thing over and over again. We hit the loop thing to kind of hear something, and it literally turned into a brand new song. We're like, oh, that wow. sounds cool, the way the riff is doing that, because we looped four measures or whatever it was. And then we turned
right.
around and we're like, wait, that's cool. And, you know, lyrically, I'll tell you, lyrically, I had been, you know, current events, if you will. That song is definitely about a kid on Ritalin, basically, in my eyes, because I was a kid on Ritalin and how it just destroyed me, how it's really a chemical straitjacket for kids. It's not for the kids at all. It's for the people around the kids. Don't ever tell a kid,
right.
we're doing this for your own good, because yeah, maybe they'll get better grades. They're only getting better grades because they just don't want to be bothered by anybody because they feel so hollow and just wrong. But you know, and I guess it's my commentary, and again, I'm not getting political or anything, but with school shootings being the way they were, and me being from an area that is tainted with Columbine being the, you know, I know Columbine's not the first one, but it is the first big one.
It was the first
and then the
major
Aurora.
Media one. Yeah.
Oh, totally. And it was
you guys, it happened
24 hours a day. Yeah, it's been a shame.
Completely.
It's a shame. There are a few things, you know, oh, it's the altitude. It's, you know, everybody can just zip it. I have no idea. You know, so much of it becomes a copycat thing. Obviously, if the first one wasn't on the news for 10 days straight, maybe it wouldn't give another kid an idea to do something like that. But I guess my idea with The Reckoning, The Reckoning for me, I guess, was, listen, you can talk about guns, and I agree with people shouldn't be able to just go down the street and buy a gun, but should they be able to have them? Sure, I guess. I mean, it's not my place to say any of that, but it is my place to say,
right.
before you start doing that, let's talk about that it's unacceptable for any child on earth to be sitting at their computer feeling so sad, so scared, so alone, so unheard that they're actually looking at any kind of a weapon online and thinking that the only way that they're going to
have those thoughts
or make some, it's by doing something completely drastic. And if you add something like Ritalin to that, which completely, I call it a soul suppressor, because it completely, just a little example. I remember amusement parks when I was a kid, going to the Six Flags or whatever. That was like my life when I was young. And I was like, if I was going on Saturday, you know, I couldn't even sleep. It's Tuesday. I can't sleep because I get to go to the amusement park. Well, give me Ritalin and that all goes away. I don't care what tomorrow brings when I'm on Ritalin. I could care less. I would walk into school. I would walk into school. I would throw my lunch away first every single day. That garbage can, I wonder if the janitor ever was like, why is there a big fresh lunch in here every single day for a couple years? And it was because I had no appetite and I was really skinny and I just wasn't a happy guy. And then mix a little bit of bullying and mix, you know, whatever it is. Everybody, you know, I'm sure a lot of people got bullied. I got bullied and stuff. And I, by no means am I going to be like, it's just part of growing up. Those guys that say it's just part of growing up, they need to go, you know, either not have children or take a class because every situation is different. And you never want a kid to hurt or feel scared.
Feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, never. Because it's, I don't know. I mean, I have 3 children and 1 2-year-old baby girl. And I do everything I can to make sure that my sons are never in like awkward positions. Of course, I need them to experience life and experience certain things. And I'm not going to bail them out of everything, but I certainly will protect them and so that they never get to a point where they feel just you questioning if they're loved. But
and now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Right now at Sprint, get any next generation Samsung Galaxy phone and get the new Galaxy S10e to use on us with Sprint Flex Lease. The Galaxy S10e has a pro-grade camera for effortless pro-quality images. Visit a local Sprint store, sprint.com/Samsung, or call 800-SPRINT-1. Galaxy S10e, $31.25 per month, second phone $0 per month after $31.25 per month credit. Apply within 2 bills. Requires 2 new lines and 18-month leases. If you cancel early, remaining balance due. Excludes tax, subject to credit, $30 activation fee and restrictions. Offer and coverage not everywhere.
Aloha. If you have stress in your life or even anxiety and panic, I want to invite you to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast for a way out. The Anxiety Coaches Podcast is a relaxing and inspiring show bringing you lifestyle changes to calm your nervous system and help you heal. Heal anxiety, panic, and PTSD for life. We bring you 2 episodes every week. There's no need to walk this path alone. Join us for a relaxing, informative, and inspiring time and start your journey out of anxiety panic. That's anxietycoachespodcast.com. Aloha.
Hey there, my name is Paige Beatty, and I am the founder of Hats On and Hats Off, which are 2 separate companies but aligned by the same philosophy of raising cancer awareness and forming smiles. Hats On is a for-profit corporation that sells cancer-specific hats to be proudly worn by you in hopes of raising awareness. A percentage of the proceeds will be donated to Hats Off, which is a nonprofit corporation raising money to buy wigs for cancer patients who can't afford them. That's where we're forming smiles. I believe cancer has touched almost everyone's lives in one way or another, a friend, a family member, a friend of a friend. So please visit our website, www.hatsonhatsoff.com, to learn how you can help raise awareness and form smiles.
Roxgear, the online webshop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Jolla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierocks.us.
But I guess back to the reckoning, you know, the lyrics are basically about that. They're about a kid who's kind of on medication that kind of numbs him, and the school's not really doing much about the bullying or I'm not talking about anyone's school. I'm just talking my perspective, and it's about a kid that he's building a bomb and doing that kind of stuff in his room. And it's about, you know, do the parents get it? Do you even know what your kids are doing in their rooms right now, kind of a thing? So many don't.
I watched the newscast afterwards, and people are like, oh, I had no idea. I'm like, you live 15 feet from where all this went down. Yeah. You know,
it's so unacceptable. And it's so unacceptable. And I do blame I'm not going to put blame because I'm not going to get political like that. But again, before any gun laws or ban this or ban that, you know, I have a couple ideas which are just, you know, dude, it's parents, man, parents. If your kids are stoked and happy and feel loved, then they're, you know, and if it's a Ritalin thing, let's do something. Let's get back to a doctor and figure out what else can we do to make somebody feel better. Maybe it's antidepressants. Maybe it's something else before you completely, you know, suppress this person's personality and soul and make them feel so just gross. And I learned something later, just kind of as a side note. I ended up in a boarding school at some point, and my counselor, who didn't even have the authority to do this, but it's fine. She was like, "What are you taking?" Because I was getting my meds. She's like, and I told her, and she's like, "Yeah, we're gonna stop that. Don't worry about it." And then after 2 weeks of the 2 weeks of the diet up there in the school, and it wasn't that. It was just not a lot of Twinkies and stuff like that. It was just, just good food. I was perfect. My ADD was gone. Swear to God, my hyperactivity was gone. I was on a regular, good diet, and I wasn't on the meds anymore, and I was just fine. So, and I'm not saying every case is the same, but with the lyrics of the song,
I think there's a lot more
that
are like that. Yeah, you know, people
sure,
be surprised.
No,
I'll tell you, when I got real hyper and out of hand, underfoot and whatnot, my father had a very interesting way to handle that. It was called being tired. He's like, "Oh, you got a lot of energy? We're going to work that out. Here you go."
Yeah, go. Yeah. No, not me, man.
Ooh.
It's crazy. Everybody has their own situation and their own life. And I'm not preaching to anyone.
I hear you. But I think people, when you look, like you said, the big thing is just happy kids, you know, people that are safe and they're secure and everything's good. They're not hearing mom and dad, you know, screwing each other every day and nobody's getting
100%.
Drunk and beating each other up or, you know, I mean, yeah, that kind of stuff isn't good, man. And people know that. It's just common sense, you know.
It is.
They need to.
Parents know how to be parents, Let's
play the single. We've got it here.
Sure.
This is The Reckoning. Yeah. And let's let people hear it. Here it is, everybody.
Totally.
This is Sonic Octane, The Reckoning. Check this out.
Yeah. Feeling something.
What a track, ladies and gentlemen. What a track. That was Sonic Octane, The Reckoning. We've got Tim on the line with us. Tim, what a track,
hey.
My friend.
Thank you.
Very
kind of
cool.
Kind of,
yeah,
no, face, just kind of right there, get the point across, and we'll get out of there kind of a thing.
I love it. Now, when you guys, as I understand it, you guys had, when you filmed the video and whatnot for this, I mean, it was a big deal. It was quite an undertaking.
Yeah.
You guys did that in Vegas, right?
Yeah, we did. We went to Las Vegas, and we had such a great team of people, and that's all on Robert for putting together just such a, you know, I just can't understand it enough how important it was for the connections that Robert made. And I'm in the guy's shadow, just attempting to be able to be that kind of a person that can go and put connections together. I'm just not built that way. And I'm trying to learn that, but I give him a lot of credit because we went there and, you know, nowadays there are cell phones and all that stuff. Just like back in those days, you couldn't bring a camera to a concert and stuff when you were younger. You know, I remember I used to try and bring those little thin disc cameras and get the guy takes some security guy grabs it from me. But nowadays it's something where they're just like, we have to embrace it as opposed to frown upon it because there's nothing we can do. And if we don't suck, I guess people filming us will just benefit us, kind of a thing. But casinos were like that too. Casinos, if you ever even took a picture in a casino, they didn't like that. You couldn't even take still pictures. It's just they don't want you to do that. So filming of any kind in casinos was really something you couldn't do. And we were so blessed to get permission to go to Mandalay Bay. And of course, it was less than a year after the shooting there, after the horrible Mandalay Bay massacre that was just such a stain on this country and a stain on a lot of different things. But we were blessed enough to be able to go up to their – they have this exclusive bar lounge, and it's a House of Blues, actually, up at the top of Mandalay Bay. And I'll never forget pulling in there at like 4-something in the morning – because it was going to be an all-day thing, and going up to the top as the sun was rising in Vegas, and we were just like, it was a dream world. It was absolutely amazing. And then you walk in, and it's interesting because this place has it's like famous people belong to it, like a lot of celebrities. You have to belong there. You can't just go in there. And there are all these lockers, and each locker has like Dan Aykroyd and Carlos Santana and all these people's names. And when those people show up, they either give the celebrity a key or they go with them and they open up that celebrity's locker and give them whatever drinks or whatever is in there.
Them.
Whatever their taste is. And I know that I remember Santana has his own like some kind of liquor. So I thought that was cool too, but he had his own bottle in there with lights on in it and stuff. But just being in that environment, we're just like, this is so cool. So I'm doing a little bit of acting that you hadn't seen yet. We have some of that in B-roll, but we were kind of doing a short film as well that was going to attach to the song, and did a little acting with some amazing people. My brain isn't allowing me to remember full names, but there's a girl named Christina Shaw, and she was she played kind of opposite of me. She was my sister in the stuff, and she's in the video, and she's an amazing I guess you'd call it impersonator. She does like Christina Aguilera, and she does Britney Spears and Lady Gaga, and she does it on the big stage. And you know, she works for Legends, or at least she did back then. And so she's out doing all that wonderful stuff. And her boyfriend, soon to be husband, is a Cirque du Soleil acrobat guy. And crazy, talented, wonderful people. And then we had another guy working for us I get all googly over movies and actors and stuff. I think it's such a big deal when you're in a great movie.
Right.
Because to me, you live forever. No matter what, you know, if somebody's saying, hey, I was in, you know, Goodfellas, or I was in The Godfather, I had this role, I'm like, wow, you're going to live for eternity because of that. But there's a guy named his name's Rusty Myers, and he he's not an extra, and I don't want to insult anybody by that. He's a guy that plays small parts in a lot of movies and has a talking role.
Sure.
And when I found out that this guy was in, like, Ocean's 11 and he was in Silverado, he had a bigger part in Silverado.
Nice.
I know he did a lot of dialogue and stuff. And I'm like, how cool is this? This guy's working with us. He's in our video. And now I watch movies all the time, and I end up seeing him in movies I didn't even know he was in. I'm like, oh, my God, there's my buddy Rusty. How weird is this? And
awesome.
Then we're just working with – it was so cool. So we're filming all day at Mandalay Bay, and then we get all the shots in Mandalay Bay. Amazing, amazing stuff. And then we end up going out to, I guess, the Mojave. It's kind of, you know, near the California-Nevada border, and Robert really wanted to – find out where part of the movie Casino was filmed, where they went and buried some people out. He really wanted to find that area. So we found it. He made sure he found it. And we went out there and we filmed in the summertime out in the desert in full, like, stage gear. I'm wearing long sleeves and all the stuff. And it was so hot, but it was such a, you know, and they're doing drone shots. So our van and stuff with all of our drinks and everything had to drive like a couple miles away before they would call on the walkie-talkie and say, okay, ready? We're going to go. And then the other guys are hiding behind bushes because these drone shots are going up hundreds of feet and all around.
Right.
And the drones are coming at us. So they couldn't have any cars in the shots or anything. So we'd have to wait for them to drive back just to give us some water. And just, it was such a bonding, wonderful bonding and amazing experience. And the people that we got to work with, I will never, ever forget people just being so kind to me. Just basic things that I don't know if it's because of the way I feel about myself at times, but just basic little gestures that were offered to me were just so nice. I felt so great. And it was such an experience. We all stayed at the Hard Rock and just
made
wonderful dinners.
Nice.
Did a lot of great things and you know, Vegas, I feel like now is a second home. I feel like New York's a second home, too, because we've been there. I've been there, at least Robert and I have been there for meetings and stuff at least 5-6 times now, and not including the tour when we toured out there. And it's wonderful. I feel great out there. I go out there, and everybody treats us so wonderfully. And, you know, we met Donna Drake, of course, and then that's how we got into the Amazon Prime thing, because she works with, I believe, Gemelli Films, I believe it's called. And and they do a lot of like Hallmark movies and Amazon Prime and just some big budget movies and stuff. And so we meet these people, and then next thing you know, they're attaching us to some of that. And yeah, it's so exciting. It's really, you really have to work the business side of it. And we have spoken with some other record companies before we got a deal, and they were all like, listen, dude, you guys are the most prepared band we've ever met in our lives. Take that. And as soon as you build a bigger following, like kind of a local buzz about people coming out and seeing you and stuff, you know, they wanted to talk to us again, kind of a thing. But we just, it was so wonderful when we finally got our deal, because that takes so much pressure off you. When you have a record deal, them now they're pushing it onto radio, and they're making the connections, and you can kind of take a breather and concentrate on some other stuff. But there's so much business involved. It's funny because it's a different time. There's some bands right now that are touring that go out and play with the Stones. They don't even have record deals because now there are people that have left record companies because, you know, record companies don't make that much money. At least like they used to, because people are streaming and not paying for that. And even some of the studio stuff, some people still go to big studios and record, you know, amazingly, you know, amazing, just the quality of every little note and every little frequency is perfect. But nowadays, a lot of people are like, we're going to get it to sound good, but everybody's streaming, so everything's squashed. Nothing's going to come out.
Right.
You know, it's like making HD films for an old tube black and white TV. It's like, there's really wasn't a point. Not that we're not doing quality. I'm just saying it's things have changed, and a lot of bands don't even make full albums anymore. It's like, okay, I release every couple months, and we'll drop that. I will tell you that beginning of March there, everybody can look for a release from us. We're finally gonna, You know, people are always like, where's your stuff? And we're like, this thing's attached to a movie and we can't release it. And this thing's attached. It's so funny, man.
Right.
We kind of did it sideways, but it worked the way we did it. It really worked because, you know, the perception is so important in music. People don't realize that. When you pull up in a tour bus or somebody sees a tour bus on the road, they're on the highway and it's just Sonic Octane on the back and just, you know, they think immediately we're rock stars, and it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing, and that gets doors open for you, and people will listen to you, and I believe the music can back that up. I think everything we do has a element of catchiness, and I think it's so important. You know, I'm not going to do a bunch of odd time signature stuff, and I'm not going to do that. Maybe one day, who knows if it fits, but I look at bands like Green Day, and I challenge people. I'm like, and people get mad at me. I'm like, you tell me why the Beatles are better than Green Day. Tell me why, you know. And then I say, go listen to Dookie and just tell me. I understand the answer. I do understand the answer.
Right.
But I'm like, every song on that Green Day album is catchy, poppy. You're humming it all the time. And that's what's important. And so I attempt to make sure that, you know, when we're writing our music, that it's not, I'm not trying to make people think or do math problems. I want people to hear the song, it gets stuck in their head, and they're just like, wow, this is a great, great sounding song, and I want people to identify with it. I've had more than one person, and this isn't me tooting my own horn because I'm still surprised by it, but say that they've gotten goosebumps when we did one certain song that we do, and I'm just like, wow, thank you. I mean, that there's no bigger compliment than somebody getting goosebumps when I do a screaming part at the end of a song or something. And that's,
right.
That's, you know, that justifies it all. You know, even when we were doing the TV stuff early on, I wasn't sure. I wasn't 100% solidified yet. And then I saw the recording. Donna sent us all a link to see it before it went on TV. And I was like, oh my goodness. Wow. We all gelled perfectly. It was one take. We had never done anything like that. I had never been on TV playing a song like that. Sorry?
And I said, and they captured it, you know? All
and
those elements
it.
Came
yeah.
together.
No, it blew my
that's
mind.
Amazing.
And when I watched it, I knew I'm in 100%. I'm in, this is my band now. It's, you know, nobody else can say it's their band. It's my band, and it's Robert's band, and it's Gunner's band, and it's Pete's band. And I, the brotherhood is so important when you love each other and you're in the project, because I've never been a fan of the hired gun thing. You know, I wouldn't even do it when I wasn't even playing. It's like, hey, you want to come fill in and do it? I don't, because I might get attached to you guys and then not play with you again, kind of a thing. So I wasn't a fan of that. And I also wasn't a fan of jamming. Some people are, and I respect that and love that, but I always want it to be serious right away. I always want to be like, okay, we just jammed. Let's go do an album and tour kind of thing. And now we just want to play some Judas Priest songs or something. It's like, okay. So I'm always thinking of potential, and it was hard for me to ever be in a cover band that I thought didn't have potential to do more. And I was in one cover band that we actually got into this Best Band in Denver thing, and we did an original song, and we did well, and we got up into the top six bands, and we got to play big shows, and Coors came to us and gave us a big show at there's a outdoor amphitheater here at the Pepsi Center, and gave us a big show there, and all these neat things came along. We were on the radio and all the stuff, and I was like, see, we're not just a cover band. Never say you're just a cover band. Just be, you know, just keep doing things, keep showing people things, and keep making people like you. I think that's the most important thing. Make people like you as people, and let people inside a little bit, and then they're going to be on your team forever. They're going to be like, man, you check out this band. And it is a harder time. I'm not going to excuse, oh, it was a bad crowd. You know, I don't believe that either. I believe it's what you make of it. And if it's a smaller crowd one night, you know, whatever, make all of those people fans of your band, no matter what it is. But it is just a different time these days. And there's so much out there that unless you got some real draws, it's tough to get a lot of people out and to clubs these days without a lot of work being behind it. And you know, fans try cherry things and bands try all kinds of things. And it's tough unless the thing's there, you know, the reason for people to come is there. And that's why it's always so important to get good shows with some national acts and you know, a band that's on our label, you know, Eve to Adam, they're about to head out with Queensryche and John 5. And I think that's going to be wonderful things for them. I mean, they're already burning up the charts and stuff, but this is the thing they've probably been looking forward to. It's like, bam, you're going to go out for a few weeks and play with these giant bands and get, you're going to get those crowds now and get those built in crowds and then do everything you can to keep them. I'm definitely not into going half ass with anything, never phoning it in. Let's make sure we're as tight as we can be and go and give everybody the greatest show that they've ever experienced and make them be fans of your band and just make them feel good and you know, sell them some merch, do whatever you can.
Absolutely.
Well, on that note,
we're right up against the time, Tim. Oh man, cool. It's been fast. It went by so quick. It's been fascinating talking to you though. Oh man.
Yeah, I get yappy. I get yappy.
And we're looking at you were saying it'll be in the spring. You guys will be releasing probably an EP or something, right? You were saying.
Yeah, it looks like at this point, you know, we're still kind of going back and forth with the record company on how we should do this and stuff, but we're definitely going to release around the beginning of March. And if I could just do a little plugging here, definitely go to SonicOctane.com and check out our stuff, and we have merch deals right now. Buy a t-shirt, be one of those awesome people that goes and supports, you know, local bands or not local, because we're not really local. We play here the least, actually, that we play anywhere. But young bands that are trying to get out there and make it, go grab one of their t-shirts. We'll give you some extra stickers, and we'll hook you up with some cool merch, autograph, photo thing, and we have a lot of cool stuff. But once you go to the website, I'm a little ADD, so once you go to the website, you'll do that. And of course, Facebook and Instagram and YouTube and Twitter. Please follow us on all. Follow us on all of those. And we just want to bring people into the Sonic Octane family. We really do, because we love people, and we love making sure that, you know, that people know that we are a band that cares. You know, that everybody is having a good experience with us. Yeah, never want to offend.
Well, we have links, ladies and gentlemen, on our show page to SonicOctane.com and their social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all that, YouTube. So be sure, like Tim said, like and share. It's so important. We live in an algorithm world, and this really all helps. And believe me, there's meetings that happen with bands and guys and gals in suits. And there's a word that comes up. What's the engagement look like? And that happens.
Totally.
But that all helps when you like and share. That's a much easier question to answer.
Important. So important.
Yeah, so cool. And, you know, like support, you know, buy merch, do this and that. Check out singles, you know, you got to do that. One of the cool things I like about all the singles and whatnot now is you can, when you buy them, you can gift them to people. That's an option, you know. If you, which is pretty cool. Well, we got to get going. Like I said, we're up against the time, but the band of Sonic Octane, check them out. And Tim, I can't wait till you're back on again before you guys start touring and everything and the singles and stuff are released. I can't wait till the next time.
Yeah, I'm excited to. Totally excited.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, and thank you for taking time out of your schedule to be on the show. Really appreciate it, man. You rock. You know,
anytime,
keep doing what you're
anytime.
Doing because you're real good at it.
I appreciate it, man. God bless, guys.
Yep. See you next time. Bye.
Thanks.
And, folks, that's going to wrap it up for us today. We will be back. Will we be back tomorrow? No, we're back on Friday, actually. We've got the band Angels on Friday. Friday evening, that'll be 9 o'clock here. This episode, of course, will be converted to a podcast and pushed out on all the various social media platforms. And all the podcasting platforms. We're on about 225 of those, somewhere between 225 and 230. I get different reports daily on that. But anyhow, we're on a whole bunch of them. How about that? And the big one, of course, is Apple Podcasts. If you are listening to the show on Apple Podcasts or one of these other platforms, do me a favor, like we we're just mentioning about the with Tim about the band, so important. Hit that ratings and review. It keeps us up on the top of the page. And when I talk to advertisers, boy, does that help. Why they call me back when they see those. No, all of our advertisers are extremely cool. Check them out, support them, use their codes. And on all the commercials, there's usually a code where you can save a little bit of money. So there you go. With the money you save, go over to Sonic Octane and get a shirt. How about that? How about that? Very, very cool. Well, we will see you next time. We'll see you Friday evening, everybody. Have a great day, and thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time. Bye.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.